Today, we want to share with you a message the Lord has just laid upon my heart more and more. Of course, if you're following a daily Bible reading schedule recently, you probably have been in the Psalms, in the Old Testament reading. And every time that we go through the Word of God, I find something that just grips my heart. I've read it before, probably preached on it before. But it just seems that God says, pull over and park there a little bit. Meditate on it. And what a blessing that he does that for us. So today I would like to direct your attention to Psalm 27. And I want to just take the time to read that chapter with you. It's only 14 verses, and it just speaks to us so much. David, the psalmist, of course, is writing this one, and he certainly had had many challenges in his life. He had had enemies oppress him. He had a king that was after him. He'd had sin that beset him. He had come to know the forgiveness of God. David had quite a life, but we can thank the Lord today for what we read in Psalm 27. And I read these words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And I pause just for a moment there at the end of verse 1. You see there, I'm reading the King James, and it says, the Lord is the strength of my life. In our speech today, we probably would think of that more as the Lord is the stronghold of my life. And Brother Duane has put that picture up on the screen for you to see. He's our stronghold. That's where we have strength, safety, and comfort. Verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. I believe that I remember that Jesus is the rock of my salvation. Amen? He's the rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle the sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me. O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And as David ends that short psalm where it says there to wait, I say, on the Lord, David is trying to transmit to us the expectation of God's answered prayer, the expectation of the strength that he would give, the expectation of delivering us unto himself. We look for the Lord's return and we long for it. Are you ready for it? And what a God we have that has made it possible for us to know the Lord in a way that we have everlasting life in Jesus Christ. What a Savior we have. As we read this chapter, I look again at verse 1, and he says, "The Lord is the light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" There are some things that cause us to have fright, some things that can occur in our lives, and we can say, "Wow, I've got to be aware of that. I've got to watch out for that." I have a couple of times been mauled by dogs. I have not enjoyed it either time, but I fear big dogs. Little ones, they're not so bad. But big ones cause me to fear. Last Sunday afternoon, Nancy and I, it was late in the afternoon, about 5:30. We were on our way back from being out of state, and we're just north of Battle Creek on M-37, and a man that had his telephone in his hand was coming toward us in a pickup truck, came across the center line, and just missed the car in front of us, and then swerved a little bit, and I said to Nancy, if we'd had two coats of paint on that front bumper, I think we'd hit him. But it caused us to fear. It really grabbed our attention, and we were off on the shoulder. The car ahead of us was off on the shoulder, and the man was trying to regain control of his vehicle. But there are some things that cause fear, and distracted driving can be added to the list, can't it? But people, as we look in the scripture here, we find that there are things that would cause all of us to have some fears. I'm going to use it this way, as we mature. I'm not using that age word, okay? But as we mature, there are health issues that come up. And in the last few weeks, there were some things that we were experiencing, and we went to some doctors and had some tests and so on. In the back of my mind, there was that nagging thought, what if, what if, what if? And this week, we got that wonderful, blessed call from our doctor, and he said, "Ralph, you haven't got a thing to be afraid of. You're going to be fine." You know what I mean, folks?
Took an x-ray of your head and didn't find anything.
I had no fear of losing my mind because there wasn't one there. Is that right? But people, I didn't really cue him up to do that, but it worked well, didn't it? But beloved, what was the first evidence in the scripture of the fall of man? Look back in the book of Genesis. And God had created all of the wonderful earth that we have. And he had created Adam and Eve to be in that garden. He had culminated creation with Adam and Eve. And then fear came. And you remember that after Adam and Eve had sinned, they were in the garden in the evening, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. And God called unto them. And what did Adam say? "I was afraid. I was afraid, for I heard thy voice walking in the garden." That was when fear started. And I want us to realize that God has a prescription for fear. The first evidence of the fall was fear. There had been a security pulled apart. There had been something that came between man and God. It was sin, and fear ensued. And Adam and Eve, when they went into hiding, knew that they had crossed that line. They had forsaken the clear instruction of Almighty God. And this psalm, though, gives us the prescription to drive our fears away. This psalm in verse 1 tells us about the light for darkness. Sin causes darkness. Sin causes separation from God. We say that Jesus is the light of the world, and he is. But sin puts that barrier between the light of the world and we dwell in darkness. And we need his light, which comes to us by salvation. And he is the one that gives us light for darkness. He gives us salvation for condemnation. And the Lord gives us strength for our weaknesses. Yes, there are things to be afraid of. We don't have to watch the news very long or read the paper or even talk with people. And we find that there is a fear that is creeping over the country. There are things today that occur that we did not dream of a few years ago. There are crimes that are being committed, capital crimes, by younger and younger people. Just this week, our niece and her daughter were in the Walmart store down in Ohio when the gunman came in. They were there. They went out the door as the SWAT team came in. And that's a frightening, fearful thing. We never heard of those things before. One of our neighbors was talking to me yesterday and said, "Ralph, I used to let my kids just ride where they wanted to near our house. And I'm afraid to let them go outside without me with them now." Fear stalks the land. Another neighbor has a son that is in the Marines. And with all of the things that are happening in the world today, as I went by their house, they waved to me and said hi, and I asked them how their son was doing, and they said, "We're so afraid for him. He's in the Middle East." Fear. It stalks the land. But God has a prescription for it. And here we see in Psalm 27, verse 1, where this declares that there is light for darkness. "The Lord is my light." I like that. I like the light. God's response to fear is to bring light out of darkness, to bring light onto us. That was true in creation. You remember, as the account goes in Genesis, that darkness covered the face of the deep, and then God divided the darkness from light, and he made the sun to rule by day and the moon by night. God brings light out of darkness. That was the same thing that was true at the incarnation. The world was covered in the darkness of sin, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Jesus came, and of course we can read the whole story in the book of Luke, and we find where Jesus came, the Son of God, to take away the sin of the world. Hallelujah, what a Savior. What a Savior. He gives strength for weakness. There have been some times in my life when I have felt so weak that I thought my knees would go down. Sometimes when you have a big fright, that happens. The day that I soloed my first airplane, the instructor told me to pull off the runway at an intersection, and he had already told the tower, and I did not know that he was going to solo me that day. And Colonel Zinser got out, and suddenly that airplane got a lot bigger. It just felt like something had happened. And I shakily picked up the microphone and called the tower and told them that the instructor had wanted me to solo, and they said, 1200 Yankee, we know that. And the fellow said two things. Calm yourself. I needed that. I needed that. And he gave me permission to taxi back to the end of the runway, and I executed a takeoff. My instructions were to make one circuit, and if upon turning around at the end of the runway after I had made my first landing and to taxi back for another one, if the instructor was walking away from the runway, I was to make five more in a half an hour's time. And I looked, and Colonel Zinser was striding off to the side down to walk back to the hangar. And I thought, I made it once. Can I make it again? And that encouraging voice from the tower said, "Good job, 1200 Yankee." That was the number of the airplane that I had. And every time that I made a circuit, every time that I touched down, yes, I was still frightened, but I had somebody in the tower that was encouraging me. somebody that said the wind has picked up just a little. There's gusts from your right-hand side now. There was somebody to guide me. And beloved, in our lives, we have the Lord to guide us. He gives us light for darkness. He gives us salvation for condemnation. He gives us strength for weaknesses. And we see that the Lord is our light. What is the purpose of God other than to bring light out of darkness? I think about it in creation. He brought light out of darkness, the incarnation, and at salvation. And salvation finds us in the dark, but it doesn't leave us there. The light of the world is Jesus. O come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweet, the light has dawned upon me. That great old song tells us that. Beloved, let's look to that light. In Psalm 23, David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Oh, it's a dark valley sometimes in life, but the light is there. The light is there. Yes. You know, Charles Spurgeon put it this way. He says, salvation finds us in the dark, but it doesn't leave us there. It gives light to those that sit in the valley of the shadow of death. And that's our great transition from darkness to light. Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior. Gives us light. He has a prescription for our fear. We're delivered from the power of darkness. We're translated into the kingdom of Christ. And one of these days for the child of God, when that trumpet sounds and the Lord calls us home, we're going to be there with Him forever, safe in the arms of Jesus. And I am anxious for that to take place. Whether it be by death or by rapture, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. What a day that'll be. That prescription will be complete. And it has done its job. Oh, may God speak to our hearts, beloved. God is on His throne. He is taking care of us. He is watching over us. Yes, fears stalk us all. But I look here also again, and I find that this psalm declares not only light for darkness, but salvation for condemnation. We are all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you know that our condemnation does not require one more sin to be done on our part? We're born in sin. We're sinners. That's why we sin. And we don't have to go out and sin again just to find out that God is in the cleansing business. We've sinned plenty enough already, haven't we? But oh, thanks be unto God that gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're delivered from the power of darkness and we're delivered from the condemnation. And we're already condemned by our unbelief, but He gives us that freedom from condemnation. Yes, we're saved by grace through faith, apart from any works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's that way. Not of works. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. And I am so thankful that we are saved by grace apart from our works. Because my works wouldn't get very far. I make a lot of mistakes when I'm doing some works. I made a little rack to hang something on in our garage this week. And I found myself having to recut. You know, I measured once, I had to cut twice. You folks know what that's like. But I am so glad that in Christ Jesus, salvation is right the first time. Aren't you? It's right the first time. In Romans chapter 8, I want to turn there just for a moment, please. The book of Romans chapter 8, This is something that really blesses my heart. And I know it's a repetitive thing for you. But when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a couple words in this chapter in Romans 8 and verse 1. They ought to stand out. And beloved, if you are one that does underline in your Bible, these two words would be something that would be worthy of a line. It says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those two words, no condemnation for those that are the Lord's and walk after the Spirit. Aren't you glad that He has removed the condemnation from you? What a Savior. Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior. Oh, hallelujah for the Lord. But we think about these words, no condemnation. I think I may have shared this with you. I've shared it many times over the years in the ministry, but some people say, what are the best words in the language? I love you is often mentioned. And I think that's a great thing to hear. My wife has already told me she loves me, I believe, 3 or 4 times this morning. And I can't get enough of it. I like to hear it. After all, for 50 years, you know. But there are some other words that are precious also. And that is this. Not only no condemnation, but as in my chamber of my imagery, I look up and the Lord looks down from heaven and He points to me and He said, Ralph, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. Can you imagine that? I know Ralph. And I know the battles that this Ralph faces. I know the struggles that this Ralph goes through. But then when I lift my eyes heavenward in my mind and I see the Savior standing waiting for us in glory and hear Him say, you're forgiven. Come home, my child. Welcome home. There's a song that I have sung many times at someone's homegoing that was a Christian. You've probably heard it, and it's the one that said, soon I shall hear God call my name from heaven's portal. Come home, my child. You've walked the last mile you must walk. I change it to the first person in that song. And instead of saying, I'll hear my name called, I sing it, since I heard God call my name. And He says, welcome home. I have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me. He's standing by my side. He has a prescription to remove our fears. He gives us light for darkness, salvation for condemnation. He gives us strength for weakness. The Lord is the strength of my life, it said there in verse 1 of Psalm 27. He's the strength. He's the stronghold. And as you look on the screens right now, you see the old wall of the old city of Jerusalem. And that is representative of that wonderful strength. It was there, just outside the city, that they crucified our Savior. It was there that they laid Him in the tomb. It was there that He arose. Oh, and hallelujah, He's coming again. I see something else today, beloved, and that is this. This psalm declares strength for our weakness. He's the strength of my life. And this changes not only our eternal destiny, but, beloved, it ought to change our daily lives. We ought to live our lives differently because of the fact that we know Jesus Christ is our Savior than before we got saved. It ought to make a difference. It gives us the strength to live each day in a way that honors and glorifies Him. In the Bible college that I attended, they had a college creed. And the last line of the college creed is this: I will seek to live today so as to be ready to meet Him at His coming. Scripture tells us that we know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. And we want to be ready. Ready. What a Savior. He has made it possible for us to have the strength to live every day. We have a strength that He gives that not only changes our eternal destination, but it changes our everyday living, and we have strength for every task. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippian Christians in chapter 4, verse 13, says what? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can personalize that verse. That prescription is for every one of you. And I don't have a doctor's degree nor a prescription pad, but I read it in the Word of God, and we share it with you, beloved. The Lord has made it possible. Yes, what a wonderful thing that God has given us. When we're wanting, He gives us strength we need. He gives strength when we're weary. He gives strength when we're fearful. Again, I quote Charles Spurgeon. He said, our life derives all its strength from Him who is the author of it. Well put, isn't it? Our help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. What a great God we have. We find that there are some great promises of strength. I choose two of them that are in the Old Testament. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, the Word of God says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's a song about that. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I didn't get all us right there. But anyway, you understand what it is. And the joy of the Lord does give us strength. What a thrill it is to be somewhere and to meet someone that loves the same Lord that you do in the same way and is bound to Christ's salvation the same way that the Scripture says that we find it. And when we were out on our family reunion last week, walking through the state park where we met, and a fellow was walking along the road with me. We were going back to our campers, and as I talked with him, he always had a pleasant look on his face. I'd seen him before. He talked purely. His eyes did not wander off at other campers and so forth there. And he talked about what a great day it was the Lord has made. And I said, do I perceive that you know the Lord is your Savior? And he lit right up and he said, yeah, I sure do. Do you? And I said, yes, sir, I do. We shook hands right there at the side of the road. And he said, man, it's good to meet another believer. He said, I thought there was something. He said, how about that group you're with? How about that group you're with? And I had a whole slew of our relatives there. Several of our kids were down there, and my nieces and nephews and so on. And I said, as much as I know, each one of those young people that is old enough to come to the understanding that they need to trust Christ for the forgiveness of sins have made that commitment. And he said, so have mine. And we just kind of looked at each other with a rejoicing countenance on our face and said, and it's all because of God's amazing grace. That's what made it all possible. We don't deserve it, but God provides it. Isn't He a wonderful Savior? He is such a blessing to us. And there's another one. Not only is the joy of the Lord our strength, but in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15, the Scripture says, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. You ever notice that God can sometimes speak very softly? And He says, be not afraid, for I am thy God. I am with thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And sometimes in the wildest tempest of our life, He may speak a little louder to raise above the din of the trial. But He says, I love you. I'll never leave you. I'm coming again, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's like when I was a youngster. My dad would go off to work each day. And he would look back at us as he went to get in the truck that he drove to work. And he'd say, "Bye-bye. I'll be back tonight." And then I got a little older, and I was learning to play the trumpet, and I had some lessons after school a couple nights a week. And I would leave on the school bus, carrying my trumpet case with me. And after school, I would meet with Mr. Smith, and I'd have a lesson. And my lesson went until 4:45, and my dad got out of work at 5. And so I would stand out in front of the high school building where it was easiest to have him pick me up. And I'd watch, and I'd watch, and I'd look for that little truck of his to come down the road. And every time, I'd look, and here it would come. He would turn into the drive, come up along where I was, and I could jump in. And I said, "Thanks for the ride, Dad." He said, "I told you I'd be here." And beloved, he told us, "One of these days, I'll come again, that where I am, there ye may be also." He removes our fears. He's coming, just like my dad did. It was a great comfort to me to see that truck coming. And he would pull over. I could jump in. He'd say, "Did Mom tell you what she was having for supper tonight?" We didn't have CBs. We didn't have pocket telephones. Fact is, we had a party line with 10 people on it. Boy, you talk about security problems there. But people, thank the Lord, He is coming again. When you feel the power of darkness, come to the light. If you're in the power of darkness and need to trust Christ as your Savior, today would be a very good time to do that, to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you feel condemned? Come to Christ for salvation. If you feel weak, come to Jesus and get strength for the day. And it's all because of God's amazing grace. He has provided for you and for me. So today, let us stand together. I want to lead us in a word of prayer, and then Tim is coming, and we're going to sing that song, Amazing Grace. Please stand with me as we close, and as God has spoken to your heart, I would like to encourage you today, if there's something that we could be of any help to you on, if there's something in your life that needs to be dealt with, some spiritual business that needs to be transacted, you ought to get it taken care of. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for the passage of Scripture that you've showed us in Psalm 27. You are our light, our salvation, and our strength. And that's the divine prescription to take us out of our fear, out of our condemnation, and out of our darkness. Oh God, we thank you. Lord, if there be someone here today that needs to call upon you to trust you as their Savior, may they do so. Even as we're bowing in prayer, Lord, may they call out to you and just confess that they know they're a sinner and need to trust you as their Savior, and that you would come into their life and transform them. Bring them into the light of your glorious gospel. Lord, we thank you. Use each of our lives now today to be a demonstration of your grace to someone else. And we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.